this morning for this first Sunday of Advent. The first one comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. This is a vision that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all, the most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills, and people from all over the world will stream there to worship. People from many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths." For the Lord's teaching will go out from Zion, his word will go out from Jerusalem. The Lord will mediate between nations and will settle international disputes. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight against nation, nor train for war anymore. And from the New Testament, Paul's epistle to the church in Rome, chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. Paul writes, "This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires." And finally, from the words of Jesus himself in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. Jesus said, "However, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son himself. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this, if a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected." These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we're in the first Sunday of Advent. It's, as Pastor Dick said, the first Sunday of the new year for the church. I don't know if you knew that this was New Year's Day for us or not, but Happy New Year. And Advent, if you can judge by the scripture readings that were given, it's not actually the season to prepare for Christmas. Although that's what we usually use it for. And we do it in a magnificent way. And don't get me wrong, I love the Christmas season. I love preparing for Christmas. We set our tree up yesterday. We had Christmas carols playing. We listened to Bing Crosby and Brenda Lee and all of them while we were putting ornaments and the lights on the tree and everything. I love the greenery. I love the decorations. This is not the season to prepare for Christmas. Advent is about the coming of Christ. And judging by these scripture readings today, it's not even primarily about the coming of Christ 2,000 years ago as a baby lying in a manger. Because we know that happened. That's history. It's recorded. It's the most well-documented birth in the history of the world. Advent is about anticipating the second coming of Christ. It's about looking forward to the time when Jesus will return and establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, fully and completely. And during this time, during this season of Advent, these four Sundays, as we get closer and closer to the Feast of the Nativity, to Christmas Day, we use Christmas as a signpost pointing to the future reality. If he came in the past, as all of the prophets had predicted, and it was true and right, and they didn't lie, and God didn't lie about his coming in Bethlehem, then we can trust all of the prophecies that point to his second coming once again. And so Christmas then actually becomes proof that Christ will return someday. And that's what these scripture passages are all about. I mean, from the words of Jesus himself, it's going to be exactly the same as it was in the days of Noah as it is when he returns once again. So if you look back in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8, that's the story of Noah through 9 there, you've got this image of a world gone haywire, this image of a world that literally was hell-bent on destruction, and God acts definitively in that time. And what he does is he commissions Noah and his family to build a big boat. We've got the dimensions. If you know what a cubit is and you have gopher wood, you could probably make a good replica. They did that in Kentucky, and I've heard that it's a fabulous museum. One of these days I want to get down there to see it, just to see the vast scope of that. Yeah, they built a boat. The family goes in, and they're saved. They're preserved. They're safe. And then the floodwaters come and sweep everybody away. And Jesus says it's going to be exactly like that. When he returns again, people are going to be taken away to judgment, just like everybody was taken away in the floodwaters of judgment. Two people are going to be in a field. One of them's going to go away to judgment. The other's going to remain safe. Two people are going to be grinding. One of them's going to be taken away to judgment. The other one is going to remain safe. It's going to be exactly the same. And he doesn't tell us when that's going to be. As a matter of fact, he's very explicit. He says, no one knows when this is going to happen. It's going to be when everybody least expects it. You know, it's been 2,000 years since he said that. Nobody expects it anymore. I'm just saying. And that's part of the reason why we celebrate this every year, is to remind ourselves, just as Jesus said, we have to always be ready. We've been given the warning. It's like when you're in school and there's a huge test and someone gives you the answers before the test. We have the answers. We have the solution to the problem. We have the warning that this is going to happen, and we've been encouraged to always be ready. And immediately preceding this scripture passage in the gospel, Jesus says this line. He says, I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. Now, a lot of people have looked at that particular verse and they've said, well, evidently Jesus was wrong because that generation is dead and gone and we're still here and the Son of Man hasn't returned. But the thing is, he wasn't talking about that specific generation of people living. He was talking about that generation of his community, of the church. The fact that the church still exists worldwide shows that even in this, he was true. That as long as the church exists, there is still hope, and there is still potential, and there is still the possibility of redemption. And the church will continue to exist right up until the day he returns, when some are taken away into judgment, and the rest stay. So then the question is, how then should we live? I'm so glad you asked. That's where Paul picks up in Romans. The days are dark and evil, and we ought not be. The world around us is dark and evil, and yet we are children of the light. And so we're called to separate ourselves from the darkness. And Paul lists lots of different activities that we are not supposed to engage in because we are children of the light and not of the darkness. When Jesus says, watch, be ever ready, Paul fleshes that out and says, and this is what that looks like. It looks like a life of holiness, a life of commitment to living out the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world. Because there is a difference between being a follower of Jesus and being like everybody else in the world. Christians are supposed to look different. They are supposed to act and react differently than everybody else in the world. If we don't look any different than anybody else in the world, that doesn't say a whole lot for our commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives. And earlier in the book of Romans, Paul makes that pretty explicitly clear. He says, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. A lot of times in churches, we tend to have flipped those two things. We like to have Jesus as Savior. We want to make sure that we have our spot in heaven when we die, even though that's actually not what salvation is really talking about. But we tend to think of it that way. You know, I want to be saved. I want to be on the right side. I want to make sure that everything's good and hunky-dory, peachy-keen in the great by and by. Now, this whole Lord thing, though, I'm not so sure about. You know, when he commands stuff, that's really kind of persnickety and invasive in our lives. You know, like love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. When you give, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Deny yourself daily, take up your cross, follow me. You know, things like that. Things that really meddle with our lives. But the way Paul said it was, if you confess that Jesus is Lord, you get him as Savior. We don't get him as Savior and then struggle to live under his lordship. We accept him as our Lord and we get him as our Savior. And so if he is our Lord, if he is our master, and that's language that in America we're not really comfortable with. I mean, we fought a revolution to get rid of lords and masters and things like that. But the thing is, God really doesn't care about our political systems. He is a king. And he is the only authority. And if he really is our authority, if he really is our Lord, if we are in relationship with him, then we are bound to be obedient to his commands. And that is a life of holiness, a life of love, a life of service to others, a life of spreading the good news that in Jesus Christ there is salvation and in him alone. That's the gospel message. That's how we live our lives here and now, preparing and being ever ready for when he returns. And the reason why we do that is because of the vision that Isaiah was given that has been referenced multiple times in the service this morning already. The beautiful vision of swords being beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks and nation not learning war anymore. You know, a kingdom of peace for all ages. We live a life of holiness here and now in Christ Jesus to prepare for the eternal life of peace that God will establish on earth as it is in heaven. All three of these scripture verses tie wonderfully together to give us the perfect example of what this season is supposed to be about. It's about looking backwards to the first arrival of Jesus as a signpost for his second coming. As proof positive that God will fulfill all of the promises that he has given, that he will transform this world into the perfect paradise it was always intended to be, and that he will do it through each one of us individually.
as we live a life of holiness and commitment to Jesus as Lord here and now. So as we go through these next 3 Sundays after this of Advent, leading up to the celebration of Christmas, of the Nativity of Christ, remember, we're not just looking backwards. We're not even primarily looking backwards. We're looking forward. We're looking forward to the second advent of Jesus Christ, when peace will reign, when wars will cease, and when we will be as He is, transformed in holiness, fully and completely into His likeness. That's the hope that we have this season. May we have a good Advent. Let us pray.
Lord God Almighty, we ask that You help us throughout this Advent season to keep Your arrival close at hand. Help us as we're preparing all of the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season, as we're preparing for pageants and family and meals and presents. Help us remember that we are still looking forward to the day when Your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven, and that You have invited us to participate in that kingdom here and now. Help us always be ready. Help us always be faithful. Help us always serve You as our Lord. We pray this in Your most holy name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Wonderful words for a season of preparation. As you're following along in the worship folder, we will have a prayer time and then we will celebrate communion. A word about our celebrating communion. It is by intinction. As I said, there will be 3 stations. Steve and Pam will be over here on the right. Myself and one elder will be in the middle, and then 2 other elders over here on the left. And when it is time to come to receive, just come down, receive both the elements, and then return to your seats. Are there any celebrations or concerns that you might like to acknowledge or offer today for us to be aware about? Celebrations or concerns? Rachel's friend Lori, traveling to a Mayo Clinic, 3 young daughters, and looking to discover a rare disease. Please pray for Lori. I think we've met Lori. Lori, isn't she a traveling nurse? Yeah? Sure. Okay. Other celebrations, concerns? Yes, Fred. Is that right? Pat and Janet, happy birthday to you. Other celebrations, other concerns. Will you pray with me the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.